Welcome to the Chinen Qigong Community Podcast. My name is Thorsten Lüdecke, and this is today's story. When great-grandmother Hilda Brown was told she should go into assisted living, she turned her life upside down and coincidentally ended up on Hawaii, living in a tiny shanty with three young girls. This is where she met Chinen Qigong. Follow her on her journey towards a life of health, happiness, adventure, and friendship, meeting incredible people along the way and deciding to become a Hunyanshi therapist herself. Now this is her story. Hilda lives in Canada at the beautiful Lake Echo. Hilda came to Chinen Qigong rather in a later stage of her life. She only discovered it 7 years ago. But she took initiative. She decided to join the Hunyanshi therapy program. She traveled to Austria, to Cyprus, to join the on-site module. And she is really an inspiration for many, many people. So I thought, you know, let's have a chat with Hilda and see how she discovered Chinen Qigong, what it means for her, and what is the secret to her everlasting youth. Hilda, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Here I am. 7 years ago, my life went kind of sideways. In fact, it went completely upside down. And it was one day when my husband said to me, I can't do this anymore. And we had been working out a gym. We wanted to stay healthy. I had always told him we were going to dance at 100. And he would laugh because he wasn't even a dancer. And I said, I would say to him, well, they won't care what we're doing, they'll just be happy we're up, okay, walking. And so anyway, within 3 months, he was diagnosed with an aggressive cancer, and it took him down in 6 weeks. Wow. So I lost my love, I lost my children, lost their father. I have 4 children, 9 grandchildren, and 2 great-grandchildren now, so that gives you a bit of my age. So anyway, I decided after much upset with my own health, because a year out, on the anniversary of his death, I was given the call that I had breast cancer. Well, that was not what I wanted to hear, because I was living my life in a lovely home running an Airbnb, which was going to be my retirement. So suddenly, my life went sideways, and I went through a lot of diagnoses. I went through complete bilateral mastectomy, and then ended up with blood clots, and actually had died. When my daughter walked in the door, I just collapsed, and I had my lungs both had blood clots. And I went down, and within a minute, I was at the hospital. I lived close to the hospital, which was a blessing. And she's a nurse. She knew because I had collapsed into the couch, she knew she had to move me. And she rolled me down and later on told me, I didn't know you could be so heavy. And that's what you call dead weight. So needless to say, they couldn't do anything normal with me because I was all wrapped up. I had like a bikini that was covering where the surgery had been. And so they couldn't put the heart monitors on. So I ended up with like a big bomb on my chest, which they monitored me from. And I went down 3 more times. I got to the point where I wasn't allowed to stand up because a clot would move and I'd be gone. So, but anyway, to make a long story short, about the 6th day, they removed everything. And I said to the doctor, can I go home? And she said to me, why would you want to go home? She said, your body shut down 3 times. I said, I can heal better at home than I can heal here. And off I went. So needless to say, with the lungs, and then I developed a condition called Droop, which was due to steroids. And I was told I should be going into a senior's residence in assisted living. Well, my back went up, and I was not heading into assisted living, and I decided I would fight it. And the doctor said to me, what are you going to do? I said, well, watch me. I said, so I talked to a girl, a friend of mine, and she said in Europe, when people develop these lung conditions, they take them to the sea and they to a spa to breathe nice air. And so I went, I looked up health spas. I went to health spa, to the salt spa. I threw my drugs away because I figured they were causing the issue. I threw them away. I didn't tell my doctor. I went through a crazy drug withdrawal with that, and to the point I could hardly walk. Then about 3 months after, so the doctor said, okay, we will follow you and we will see what you are doing. And I said, I'm organic, I'm going organic, and I'm exercising, and I'm just going to breathe salt air. I even bought Himalayan salt lamps, had them in my bedroom and in my living room, and just made my place a spa. I had a deck where I put a water feature, and I had lots of plants, and I called it my healing garden. Okay. And it was Christmas that year when I said to my, just before I said to my doctor, I was in for a routine appointment. I said, you know what? They didn't make another appointment for an MRI. He said, call them. So I called, and the nurse said, who's calling? I said, Hilda Braun. She said, your lungs are clean. I said, okay, thank you. That's all I need to hear. She said, you want to see the doctor? I said, no, it's okay. I'm fine. Okay. I can breathe. Because I was having a hard time breathing, a real hard time. I said, I know I'm fine because my breathing is good. So then Google had become my buddy at night in my bed, researching. And then I decided in January, I need to go somewhere. I need to get away. I have too many people telling me what to do. So my granddaughter was in England at the time, and I'm booking a flight for England when the lady said, oh, Hilda, you have enough points to go to Hawaii, air miles. I said, oh, okay. So I went into the back burner because I thought I was heading to England. But she then came home, and my trip changed, and off I went to Hawaii. And that's where I met Qigong, because I was living on a 7-acre off-the-grid farm in a shanty with three other young girls. It was a life-changing experience. First of all, I learned I could live tiny. I could live small because I had a big house, 3,000 square foot house. I found I could live tiny and I was happy. And then Lou at Kokolulu said to me, we're giving you the retreat. All you have to do for payback is make bread and soup for us, for the group. I said, no problem. I'll cook because I grew up cooking. So I started to cook their soup and that. And I thought, well, I'm not really interested in this Qigong. I'm just going to go and, you know, sit there and fake it. Well, you know what? It didn't take long that Qigong got a hold of me and my heart. The people were amazing. The team was amazing. Lou was there from China, Britta. It was amazing. And I started to, I learned, okay, you want to know about what Qigong is all about? It's all about your intentions and learning to live a healthy life, a very healthy life. Right. And I learned. Okay, I learned there that we learned about fermenting. All these things weren't strange to me because my mother had done all those things. Our parents did those things. Okay, they didn't have the superstores that we have. So we grew all our own. So now here I live in Nova Scotia. I grow all my own food. I am living healthy. Okay, and I pickle everything.
So basically, if I understand that correctly, you went to Hawaii and you participated in a retreat, in a healing retreat as a participant with Master Leo and with Britta and other Hunyanji therapists. Yeah. And then you discovered, wow, this is really great. This is working for me. There's more in it. And then you decided to become a Hunyanji therapist yourself.
My real reason for joining at first was it was a good group to travel with and to meet. So I decided, because I'm now alone, and Rudy and I had done quite a bit of traveling. We loved to, and we always traveled and hiked. We didn't go to all-inclusives. We went to places where we'd rent a car or whatever, and we would adventure out into the mountains and get healthy. Okay? So no, I was not going into Qigong for that reason at first. In fact, they know it. They knew it. Britta knew it. I was doing it for self-healing, and I was safe with them. They were great people to meet. I knew if I traveled, my first trip was to Cyprus. And I knew that when I got there, even I made this horrendous journey all by myself. Okay. I knew when I got there would be all kinds of hugs for me and breathing. Happy to see that I had arrived and I didn't get the one that scared them all the most, I think, was when I was on a train in Austria and everybody thought I was lost. They couldn't find me. But I was on the right train coming the right way. But what I found, because one of the days they told us we were going to do Lachi for an hour, one of the guys told me, Lee told me. Right. I said, you got to be kidding. An hour sitting and doing Lachi? That's pretty crazy. So I thought, okay, we'll work on it. I did it. But as soon as we were done, I ended up with this horrible pain under my rib, under my shoulder in the back. So I got up and I walked across the room and Lee said, what's wrong with you? I said, I got this crazy pain under my shoulder. He said, where? I said, back under my shoulder. I told you on the left side. He touched it and the pain went away. Instant. But see, the energy that was flowing through us all and the believing that it heals, because a lot of it is mind.
Yes.
Open heart, open mind.
And you obviously took on a lot of these learnings, you know, about the mindset, about the consciousness in your daily life, because you've gone through a lot of, you know, physical illnesses. And yeah, you're now here sitting happy, you're traveling again, and obviously enjoying life. So how have you taken all of these lessons into your daily life? How are you integrating that? Are you in touch with the people, with your Qigong friends?
I was still in Ontario when I was living in the condo that I told you about, and because I had to sell my house. I couldn't keep. I lost my husband. I always said, I lost my husband, I lost my girls, which are my breasts, and I had to sell my house because I couldn't maintain, even think to keep it, okay? And I couldn't put that load on my children, okay? So fortunately, the market was amazing, and I got a good price in one day. I had 5 offers for my house. Wow. Okay, which is amazing. Okay, and especially in Ontario. So I was helping my son had the baby was Michaela was 6 months old when Rudy died. And now this is 2.5 years later. I'm living in a condo and once a day I would have the 2 children for the day. And I said to them, let's go do a picnic at the park. And because I'm an outdoors person. I love to live outside. So we went to the park and I packed hot dogs, of course, and marshmallows, the things they would like. And we started a fire and for cooking our hot dogs, and we had sticks. And when one of the sticks came out, Keenan, who was in 5, grabbed the stick, but he grabbed it by the hot end. And I saw a disaster, and I was out in a park with all the stuff, the kids, and a kid with a hand that's going to be, he's going to be. I grabbed his hand so fast, and I shoved it into my mouth, and I said, no, 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 go, 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 heal, 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 normal, normal, normal. I went into the whole thing that I'd seen in Hawaii that they were doing, and he pulled his hand out, and he looked at it, and he said, what happened, homie? And it was gone. There was nothing. There was not a mark. It was gone.
Great.
Talk about healing. I went home to tell his parents, you know, and James thought, Mom, what are you into? What is this? I said, it works. Okay. You see the energy and seeing it healed. Okay. Knowing there was another incident that I can tell you about was I had a car accident just before I was supposed to move here. And the guy stopped abruptly in front of me. I hit him. My airbag went off, hit my very fragile chest. And I remember saying to my kids, if the accident doesn't kill you, the airbags will. Because I was sore. I was really, really, really sore from that. And I had to pack and so much to do that I couldn't be sore. I had no time. I could hardly lift my arms. And I went to the doctor. They checked me. He said, nothing's hurt. You're just very bruised. The next morning, I got up and I thought, you know, they always talk about intention and be intentional. So I got to heal my chest. So that day, my job was to heal my chest. And I got up that morning and I started to do Chen Qi. First of all, I never thought that our organs were all like connected. I always thought the heart sits there and the lungs sit there, but they're all in membranes and they're all connected. It all moves in there. So I started to do Chen Qi and I alternated between Chen Qi and La Qi. And as much all day long in between a drink of water and something to eat, and then I would be back at it. The next morning I woke up, the swelling was gone, the pain was gone, and I could pack.
My name is Leila Cupido, and I'm the project manager of the Student Hub. Our team is constantly adding events, teachers, videos, and other resources to take your practice to the next level, improving the quality of your life and the life of the people around you. We do this work for you, so please use it. Hun Yuan Ling Tong.
Great. I mean, it's amazing how well you took on all these lessons then. I know you went there for the purpose of having a good time, meeting great people. But yeah, you've still been a very good student, obviously, that you taught, that you took on all these things and are using them for yourself and for your family and the people around you. So yes, that's great.
That's my aim. And now I feel that I've been spared death 4 times. In 1 week, okay, where I was brought back.
Yes.
That there is, first of all, that my daughter walked in just as I was taking, going down, is she came to make me coffee. It was just 2 days after the surgery. And she knew I'd be getting up. And with that, I went down. And that she was there and knew what to do and called 911 and had it all in place. I've decided that there's a purpose, and I can't waste it. Sitting around feeling sorry for me is not what I'm going to do. We moved out here, and it'll be 5 years this May that I moved out here to Nova Scotia. Oh, and my sister again told me, oh, you should think to go into a seniors where you'll get help when you need. I said, why? And she said, well, what if? And I said, I've never lived with what if, so I'm not going to start with what if now. Okay. So I said to her, I'm moving to Nova Scotia. James wants me to come along. I know that's where my husband wanted to go and retire someday. He wanted to move to the coast because we're only 10 minutes from the Atlantic. I live on a lake and I can be in 10 minutes at the Atlantic Ocean and I can walk the beach. I can be out there breathing all this beautiful air and keeping my lungs clean. Okay. And I garden, I have a greenhouse, I have plants growing right now, I have plants all over my house. I think I have 12 plants in this little space. So I feel, as one lady said to me when I was in Hawaii, she asked me, why are you here on a farm? She said, because at your age, most women, she used the word commit suicide. In other words, they quit doing, and they get old, and they go into these seniors' homes, and they get old and wait to die. That wasn't me. That was never my plan. And even when I was down in my lowest point, there was no way I wanted to be there. And so I said to my sister, I'm moving to Nova Scotia and I'm buying a kayak. And I did. I go out on the boat on my kayak. And I'm not the oldest lady on the kayak out here. There is an old man out here. I shouldn't call on that. A sweet old gentleman out up the lake. He is 92. If the day, every day, when there's no ice on the water, he paddles his boat all the way up the lake and back, and he's and feeds the ducks. And he's 92 years old. So,
no excuse for you not to do it, right?
No, I see him on there. Yeah. There, I think, okay, there's my challenge. Okay, right there, get on the boat. Okay, and away you go. So, you know, there are so much we can do, even as seniors. I now volunteer. My children are both paddlers. My grandchildren are both paddlers, and my son is on the committee for the club. And so I'm in fundraising with them. I help raise money and make people happy.
Great. And rumor has it, Hilda, that you are invited to Italy to join a healing retreat.
That's a fact. In fact, in March, I'm heading to New York, and Lou is coming there, and then Richard is going to be hosting him, and I'm joining in New York, and then hope to. I've never done Central Park, so I hope to be with some of, because there's a whole group of buddies there, and so I've joined. They're my Qigong family that I connect with every week.
Yes. Okay. Yes. And then you are traveling further to Italy?
And then and that's in March. And then in Italy, I will be there. I'm hoping to go to Spain.
Yes.
While I'm there. And hopefully, Abdia doesn't know yet, but I hope to see Abdia and her new baby.
Okay, cool. So all friends from the Hunyuan Qi therapy program?
Oh, I would go tomorrow to Lebanon to meet Razmik, if I could, yes. You know, but that's very scary out there. So, my family, my grandchildren, they'll see what I'll talk about things. In fact, my New York gang, a bunch of them came here and spent a whole week with me at my place last summer.
And
so, you know what? Getting old is no joke, but it's all what you make of it.
Right. Right. And I'm curious to hear also about, you know, how the people see you today.
They think it's great what I'm doing, but they're not really. I've tried to introduce. I showed them some of the exercise because I come from a family of eight. Okay. I'm in the middle of that batch. And so we were all in South Carolina on the beach there last year. And so they're walking badly, and they're having heart issues, and they're having a stroke, a couple of them. And I start to show them how to do exercises on the beach there and like that. But, you know, it's got to be in your heart, too. You've got to want to do it. It's got to grab you. It's not something you just do once every month. If your body wants to be healthy, you need to move it regularly and move it often, okay? Because in the good old days, people lived on farms, and they did Qin Qi every day without knowing it in their working around. You know what I mean? They did the act, okay? And they also used your brain. Now, people are from the couch to the car, to the restaurant. It's showing up on them. But no, they all were here. I had them all here for a week, and we celebrated my one brother's 50th, and we did a seafood Eastern dinner, which was lobster, and with all the trimmings. And they've all agreed that I couldn't have made a better choice.
Very nice. And I think we all have that experience in our life that there are people where we feel it would benefit them greatly, you know, to do some exercises like Qigong, but it just doesn't resonate with them. So I think all we can do is really, you know, send positive information, include them in our training, in our Qi fields and so on. And through that, you know, doing what we can do.
I tell them about YouTube channels they can go to see Lift Qi Up, Pour Qi Down, to learn to do that, because there's great people on YouTube that are teaching that. And I've suggested that kind of thing. But you know what? When I come home from home, or I go to visit family back home, I come home tired and a little, and often upset because I don't like what I'm seeing. Okay.
Right.
But I can't change that. But when I go, when I go with my Qigong family anywhere, I come home invigorated. I come home with energy and life. My neighbors will tell you that when I come home from like New York or wherever and have been with my Qigong family people, I just come, you know, it just energizes because we're on the same, we're in the same path.
Right.
Trying to encourage each other to stay healthy.
Yes.
To eat healthy. You know, you are what you eat and you are what you think. Negative thoughts have to be turned into positive thoughts, okay?
I think that was wonderful to hear from you, Hilda, and to share your story and where you're at. And I think it's a great example. I know a lot of people would say, wow, she is so amazing, et cetera, et cetera. And you are so amazing on one level. But on another, you're just very clever because you do what does you good. You do what improves the quality of your life rather than taking away from it. So it's a natural choice.
I had a very good, I'll put a little thing in here. I had a very good doctor when my children were little who said to me, when something goes sideways, like they have a rash, he said, see what you've changed either in your diet or in the laundry soap. He said, and know your body. Know your body. When your doctor gives you a pill and it makes you suddenly, you're going down instead of getting healthier, get rid of that pill. Don't go tell them that pill because they will give you another pill to try to make that pill work better. So my thing is, I know we need doctors, but we really, before a doctor, we let them give us stuff. We should know what we're eating and to keep ourselves healthy and our exercise. If we have pain, we need to move because there's a blockage, right? So you move and open that blockage so that you don't have to go. I mean, when my chest went, when that airbag hit, I had a lot of pain. Okay. And then one day it was gone. Okay. He wanted to give me painkillers. And I said, no, I don't want painkillers. He said, what are you going to do? I said, watch me. I'm going home. You know, so, yeah, I came from a family. I mean, my earliest memory of my childhood is standing in the food line. So this will give my age away. Standing in the food line, not a food line, holding a bowl to get my grits at a refugee camp. Okay. When the Russians first invaded Ukraine.
Right.
80 plus years ago. Okay, that's my first recollection. And the bowl of grits that I picked up, that was at a German. We had already left. And I was in a German refugee camp waiting. My father was applying for immigration to Canada. And we were blessed to get the okay.
Right.
That was my earliest recollection of my childhood. Okay. So I saw parents that were strong and determined to make their life better.
Right.
I think that helps to form you. That formed me.
Yes. I think that is a great way of explaining why some people at some point in their life learn that lesson about what a commitment and intention really means. And in this case, it was a commitment and the intention of your parents towards your life and their own life to make it work and to get into a much better situation. And you just take this on for the rest of your life. And now you're here with an intention of creating the best for you and the people around you. And it's very positive to hear where that comes from. So if that is your first memory, it makes total sense that it made you the woman that you are.
My childhood was not as a playing with dolls. Never had one. My first doll I got was in Canada. And the other thing was my father he had lost his arm in a farming accident. My father played a piano with an artificial hand. He could entertain the crowd. So, you know, we saw a man with a determination to make a life for himself and his family. So I think that has helped me a lot. Part of that has formed me into my way of thinking. But, you know, when you get old, like, you know, if you listen to everybody, you want to just, you could just quit. Okay. That would be the easy road. but I was never one to choose the easy road.
I think that is a beautiful, you know, finishing words of our conversation here, because there are many people at very different stages of their lives and different stages of where their mindset is and what their commitment is towards their own life. And hopefully this conversation has given some of them a new inspiration of, well, if Hilde can do it, then maybe I can do it as well. If Hilde finds this passion, maybe I can find that as well. And I think that is the purpose of this, one of the purposes of this conversation. So because we all learn from each other, and it's always great to see someone making it work. And so I thank you for that, Hilde.
And, belonging to a group is really important. My husband and I, when we worked out, we always did it together, because if one did without the other, it didn't work. So when he went with my brother, I didn't go along. It didn't work. But when we decided to work together, we challenged each other. And when you work together in a group like Qigong, you challenge each other to be the best you can be, okay? And to love yourself and love people.
Thank you very much, Hilde. Thank you very much for this conversation. I appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule. Have you been on the lake today already, or is it still to come?
No, we got a foot of snow yesterday.
Okay, so no way.
It's snowing right now. And right now, the lake is not safe because we had a warm spell, and we're not going to take a chance because it's very deep. Okay, so I walk, but I live on a hill. And I live like in Austria. When I came to Austria, that was just like how I live, on a hill. My little house is on a hill. Everywhere, every which way I go, I have to go downhill or uphill, or I never walk on the level. The only place I walk where it's really level is at the beach.
Thank you very much, Hilde. Have a fantastic day further. Thank you very much for the conversation.
Thank you. And say hi to Britta from me, okay? I give her a hug.
We trust you enjoyed this conversation, and we invite you to subscribe to our podcast so we can stay in touch and notify you of future episodes. We will end today's episode with the 8 verses meditation performed by Qinyin Qigong teacher Katrin Hendricks. Enjoy. Get your free ebook on the 8 verses meditation, please check the show notes below.